Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Down the blind, Andrew Johns. Inside for Elvin. Elvin will score! Elvin will score! Newcastle has won!
Titans versus Dragons. This is an interesting game because I thought the Dragons would grind them out of it, but Titans get the win. And I have to say, Jaden Campbell was the difference. He was truly the difference.
Yeah, for sure. Such a good performance from him.
Like, without him, do they score half their points? Like, I really don't think they do.
They look like a completely new side in attack, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, just X factor.
Yeah.
And that was in the rain, too. Imagine when you get him on a dry track.
Mate, he's just, yeah, it baffled me when he, anyway, 13 tackle breaks. That's always, when, especially the way he does it, that's always going to bode well for your attack if you've got a fullback constantly causing that much trouble for the defence.
And he's also, like, 13 tackle breaks is a good stat, but he's not the sort of guy where he'll just run over the top of you.
No.
He's just hard to handle.
Yeah.
Funny looking back on the things that you say, you know, the week prior or whatever, or for last month, the things you get so right and things you get so wrong. We've all been sitting here saying, get Jaden Campbell back in there immediately. We've also been sitting there going, geez, Tyrell Sloan's worth another crack, isn't he?
Yeah,
and then
I
he
know.
Comes in as a shocker, same game, same position.
Yep.
We'll get to that soon, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was going to bring up the Sloan situation. Look, like, apparently he's been receiving abuse from fans. What I don't get is, if you're a fan of the Dragons, do you really think it helps your club by making your next superstar hate the club and hate rugby league? You should be sending him messages of encouragement. If you want your club to improve, he's the guy that is going to do it. Tell me, who else do you have coming through that can be in a key position and change that club? It's Tyrell Sloan. So if anyone's sending, like, I mean, it wouldn't be anyone listening to this, because I hope not, because, yeah, you're kidding yourself. But yeah, Tyrell Sloan, obviously he didn't have the best game. Be patient. I think you got to remember, this guy got dropped. It was very public. His confidence would be down. This is why, in my opinion, it was a bad idea to drop him, because this is what happens to some kids sometimes. They lose their confidence. They come back into a game. They make one error. And then it just snowballs. It just snowballs.
You could see in that game how hesitant he looked at the line when he was taking them on, whether he'd pass, kick, run himself, whatever. It's like, no, you need to do, like, basically what Trent Robinson has done with Sammy Walker and said, mate, you're green, you're young, you've got some chinks in your game, stuff, we'll work through it, back yourself. Yep. Do the same with Tyrell Sloan. I know that's hard as a coach because you don't want these errors, but surely you've just got to back their talents and say, mate, you'll make mistakes, but the good that you'll get out of it will be worth it.
And that's what Phil Gould said at the start of the year, that he likes to look at the Dragons because they're going to play with no fear, these young guys. He's playing with fear now.
Yeah,
because he's claiming the fear that he's going to lose his spot if he doesn't, and that's not how it should be.
And he's heard the rhetoric. He's young, he's green, he's not ready. He needs to go and work on his game, and this is where, you know, I do rate Hook as a coach. I really do, but I disagree with this. I understand you've got to be brutally honest, and it's all great that we're all honest and rah rah. But certain players, young players, need cotton wool. Like, they need, it's just the different way. Not cotton wool, but they just need to be treated differently. And they don't, that harsh kind of publicly saying, he's young, there's a few things in his game he needs to work on. I don't know how that benefits him at all, publicly saying all that kind of stuff. All it does is make him think, oh, shit, like, I do need to work on my game, and I'm not as good as I thought I was, and, you know, and there's so many young players that come through and this kind of stuff does happen where they start to second-guess themselves and they start to go and they turn into a player that they, you know, aren't really that kind of player. So I think with Sloan, the challenge for Hook is kind of reversing that kind of stance and going more the stance of like, you're the man, you've got your spot, you're going to be the guy for the next 10 years, we back you. If you make a mistake, don't stress about it. We've got your back. We're going to defend for you. Because the only way the Dragons have any improvement in them is if Sloan becomes that guy.
And it's tough if, I'm sorry, if I'm Sloan, Hook says that to me this week, I'm going, bullshit.
Yeah, I know.
It's a fine line. I'm not buying that. It's a fine line as a coach to keep their feet on the ground, but without belting him and like shooting their confidence down and making them second guess themselves. Yeah. Like it's tough on.
Well, I thought the Sloan one was such a public one as well. Mm. Like it was quite public. Whereas like the Campbell one was kind of under the radar, and you wonder like, is that because Dragons are such a big club that it was more public, or you know, were they trying to play the media game and putting out that, you know, like I remember there's one NRL 360 where they were like essentially made up the fact that Campbell was kicking rocks in reserve grade. So they made up that he might be doing it and then started arguing, well, if he should pull his head in, he's right, and was arguing about something that hadn't actually happened, if you know what I mean. Like they created this narrative, like he might be kicking rocks, and then they started arguing over how he should pull his head in and rah, rah. And like, I don't know, it's going to affect a young player eventually if they, you know, get sent that from their mates or whatever. But yeah, with Tyrell Sloan, I think the best way forward for them as a club is just to get around him. Like, I know, I understand what you're saying, Guru, is like, it's hard for him to believe him, whatever, but like, what's the other option? Is
yeah,
the option
no, for sure. And I was about to say, I haven't listened to the press conference, but I hope Hook did put his arm around him.
Mm. Yeah, I haven't listened either. But yeah, it's even like a Monet, like he's confident, like he's probably not playing the way he was at the start of the year. So, yeah, really interesting. Really interesting to see how the Dragons pull through this, because the last thing you want to do is damage your young fellas. And right now the concern is you have Sullivan, Sloan, Amone. All three of them aren't playing as good as they probably can. Sullivan hasn't had much of an opportunity. And if all of three of them aren't playing as good as they can, is it their fault or are they not being managed correctly?
Yeah.
And that's the concern at the moment.
Yeah, you know, mate, I wonder if the plan was to ever play Sloan this week. I wonder if McCulloch being out forced his hand.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It's
because like it would make a lot more sense instead of pissing rain at Suncorp to bring him back. They play the Warriors the week after at home, then they got Canterbury. Like it would have made more, I would have thought, but maybe his hand was forced with McCulloch being ruled out.
It's interesting because he went back to New South Wales Cup and was killing it.
What do you reckon he does tomorrow then? He's got to name a team tomorrow.
Sticks with him.
Yeah,
okay. Absolutely sticks with him. If he drops him, it'd be the worst thing to do. Would drop him. It would kill his confidence. It would annihilate his confidence if he goes back and gets dropped again. I think what I couldn't understand about the Sloan dropping and the Moan dropping is they didn't improve as a side. So what, like the idea that they needed to go and work on things, and that's what was affecting the first grade side, was statistically and factually incorrect because they got dropped or put to the bench and then dropped. The Dragons did not improve as a side. So it wasn't their shortcomings that was hurting the Dragons and whatever. And so I think that he has to stick with him. Like if he wants, yeah. Because the thing is like, okay, you drop him and you replace him again. You're just back where you were last week, which is, you know, struggling. You know, so look, the crazy thing is like the Dragons are sitting 12th now. Like, fuck. They lose next week and they could be genuinely sitting 13th or 14th, which is crazy because they were actually my Smokies to, you know, make the eight. They're playing the Warriors though, so this is actually the perfect game for Sloan and Moan to get their confidence back. I think they select them. I really do.
Speaking of confidence in younger players, he's been around for long enough now that he's probably not in the younger player bracket. A bit harsh, but Zaki Lomax, that penalty, 15 to go, from the sideline, bad side, just put his hand up. And they would have said to him, do you want to take it, mate, or do we tap? Fucking oath, I want to take it.
Yeah.
And just nailed it. How good, like, confidence to take it and then just clutch as they come.
And it's also one of those kicks that from the position he had to kick it from, it was going to be tough to kick it dead. So it was huge risk on it. If he misses and it doesn't go dead, all of a sudden you've lost possession.
Mm.
It was a huge punt.
Huge kick.
Fuck, he hit it with some confidence.
Just quickly back on the Sloan thing. Absolutely, like, you know, you missed four tackles or whatever. But when you read his stats, he still ran for 182 metres, had three tackle breaks, two offloads, 54 post contact. He only had two errors. You know what I mean? Like, we were talking about Selwyn a few weeks ago. He had 11 errors in 2 weeks. So Sloan obviously wasn't his best performance, but if I'm Hawk, I'm sitting down with Sloan and going, mate, like, have a look. You actually ran for the second most metres of anyone in our side. You know, yeah, yes, you know, there were a couple errors or whatever, but don't fixate on that. Like, you did some good things as well. So hopefully you can bounce back. Outside of that, with the Dragons, it was just one of those games where it seems like a cliche, but it seemed like the Titans wanted it just a little bit more. Just their energy, shooting out of the line, wanting to put hits on. They were quite aggressive, especially Tino through the middle there. I thought he was really aggressive. I don't know where to put the Dragons anymore. I don't know what kind of side they are. They're just, for a side that you would have thought had consistency going into this year, because that's what Hook does bring, they kind of just lack a little bit of that consistency.
Well, when you consider, and you know, you've said it for a few weeks, when you consider the side that the Dragons have built, you know, the squad they've built where they're going to be a gritty side, a wet game against a team that is very inexperienced and very young. Like, this should have been the Dragons'
bread and butter game. Yeah. Like, if
this is perfect scenario for them.
If you could recruit a team to win a wet, gritty game, it's literally this Dragons side. They're all tough as fuck. They go all day. They're going to grind a win out. I'm not really sure what direction the Dragons take at the moment. I don't know, like, what's their ceiling, you know?
I think people may have gotten ahead of themselves a little bit with this Dragon side on the back of the ages of your Amones, your Sloanes, O'Sullivans, all these blokes. The future is so bright for all these guys and the team, but, you know, we're talking three guys, albeit sort of two starting at the moment, in key spine positions. So maybe it's a case of, all right, let's just, like, take a breath and go, even if we don't necessarily play it, make the top eight this season, but building towards next year when these blokes have, and that's where we're saying, stick with Tyra Sloan, stick with Talatau Monet, get games under their belt, because come round one next year, they've all of a sudden got a full season of NRL under their belts. They are the future of the club. But I don't think it's going to come as soon as people have probably hoped.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I also agree with they should have probably stuck with the Monet and Sloan from the get-go. I think that if they had stuck with Sloan, from the get-go, I think that the team's probably in a better position now than what they currently are, because at the moment, now they're caught in between two worlds. Mm. They're caught in between, do we put Moses Mbai back there? Do we bring Jack Bird into the six and grind out maybe a top eight finish, like we can hope for it? Or do we just go, you know what, let's build this year and go into next year? Because Hook is re-signed for next year. So it's not like he has to worry about...
I personally think, like, the short-term pain that you put off by having a Moan and Sloan out of the team to bring your experience in, you're still going to have to go through that pain at some point now.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, look, so as you said, the promising thing for I don't know what direction they go in this year. That's where I'm a bit bit puzzled at. Like, what is the direction this year? Is it, you know what, let's put aside the eight for now. If we make it, that's great. Obviously, still, you know, try to make it. Or do we go, we're doing anything we can to make the eight this year? It's a very... I felt like at the start of the year that it was very clear the direction was we have youth in spine, let's follow that youth all the way till the end of the year. Now it seems like we're in that real bit of a weird mix. I'm not sure what the answer is.
I sort of feel like in order for them to make the eight, they're going to have to back those young guys in.
Yeah.
I personally don't think Jack Bird at six and Mbai at fullback is going to make you a top eight team anyway.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
And you touched on it before. It's like, all right, do we want to scrape into the eight with some gritty wins and get knocked out first week of finals footy by 40 points? Or do we want to invest in the youth and potentially scrape into finals, but with Talatau Amone, with Tyra Sloan, these boys who can put points on and shake up any team in the competition or going to plan and potentially cause a boil over week on a finals. And I think that's the route they'll take, albeit at the risk of, all right, maybe we don't play finals footy this season, but round one next year, we're ready to go. You touched on Hook there being signed for next year as well. Like, you can imagine if he wasn't signed for next year, and I know that's not the be all and end all with contracts as we're seeing with Barrett, but if he was only contracted this year, he'd take the safe approach and try grind to the top eight. But hopefully has the backing that he can go invest in the youth, aim primarily for next year. But we'll see which way he goes, won't we?
Yeah, I just don't see, like, what is the benefit of not doing that? Like, what do you gain? Like, you're not going to, if you do a grindy, gritty win, as you said, Guru, you've got to put them in eventually.
Yeah.
They've got to be put in eventually. Yeah, so look, interesting time for the Dragons. As we just said, though, the positive is you've got these young throbbers in key positions. That's something that a lot of clubs are so desperate for, so desperate for. Titans, look, great gritty win. Fucking good on them. Good on them. They weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I think Campbell in the side, the only way they make the eight this year is honestly if Campbell is in that side killing it. I can't, without Campbell in that side, I don't know how they make the eight, to be honest.
I think both these teams are in a very similar spot. You have to back in your young talent.
Yeah.
Just back them in. You might not be a top eight side, but if you are going to be a top eight side, it's because you've got the very best out of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And what's weird is, like, you could actually argue the Dragons are in a better position because they have Ben Hunt at seven to guide the six.
On paper, they're not in a terrible spot to have young guys in. You've got an experienced nine in McCulloch. You've got an experienced seven. You got a hard-nosed forward pack. Like, it's really, unless you're at the Melbourne Storm, the Penrith Panthers, the Sydney Roosters, there's probably not a better spot to bring these guys in, I don't think.
Literally. Yeah, you're totally right. You're totally right. As I said, like, I feel like they're actually probably in a better spot to, like, be backing
you. If you swap the halfbacks and Toby Sexton's at the Dragons, I'm going, oh, okay, maybe we don't have that many young heads. Yeah.
Well, it's like what happened to the Raiders where we thought, look, I think you put too many young guys in at once. You bring in Frawley, and now Frawley's fucking, he's the next Joey at the moment. Yeah. Frawley's the next fucking Joey. Yeah, so I don't know. Do you think it's a little bit mismanagement from Hook?
I think so, but
he sees things that we don't see.
Mate, there's so many things that Hook does that I just go, what planet are you living on? But then 3 months later, I'm like, oh, okay.
I kind of get it.
I get what he was doing now. Made no sense to me, and it still kind of doesn't, but it worked.
Yeah.
Like, you know better than me, but I just don't.
Yeah, even understand. When I was at the Broncos, there were some decisions that I was like, it really did surprise me, but he does. I know he hasn't won a premiership, but he kind of has the runs on the board. Like, he got the Panthers to top four. The Broncos, we saw how hard that is to take over that job. Like, outside of Wayne, you know, Ivan had success in that first year. I think he just struggled with the senior players. Outside of, like, Hook did pretty good with that squad. And also, he assembled a lot of the squad that ended up going on to play grand final for the Broncos. And you look at the Penrith, he was a part of a lot of that as well. You know, I think Hook unfairly doesn't get talked about enough in assembling a lot of those young Penrith Panthers guys together.
And exactly what you just said then, I do it all the time. Say, oh, he hasn't won a comp. Fuck, it's hard to win a comp.
Who has won a fucking comp?
Good God. Yeah. There's what, four, five?
Current
maximum
coaches?
Maximum six coaches that have won a comp.
Just going to say, his winning percentage at Penrith was actually 58.3%.
That's great.
Like, yeah. And also, that's with it. He didn't walk into a fucking world-beating side. It was just a solid, you know, 6-10 side.
Well, he essentially had Peter Wallace, who no one really wanted. Jamie Sowell, the Dragons didn't want. A heap of young guys.
He hadn't had a hooker, like a, you know, an elite hooker at all, really, at the Penrith Panthers.
Matt Moylan was like 23 and he was the captain.
Yeah. So that's the thing with Hook. Like, although I disagree, like, for example, I disagree with the Sloan. Immediately when he got dropped, I disagreed with that. And I think we all disagree with it. But he does have, you've got evidence to prove that he can get the job done. So, you know, maybe he is making the right calls and we're going to see the dividends be paid later. Hopefully. You know, maybe okay, Sloan came back, he didn't play that great, but maybe being dropped to reserve grade, he comes out next week and he appreciates how lucky he is to have the first grade jersey. But you never know. Yeah. That could be the case. And maybe Hook putting him through this kind of tough period makes him a stronger player. We just don't know, but yeah, interesting time at the Dragons. Again, the positive is, though, when you look at that roster, there's a lot of potential there. A lot of potential. And you have to give credit, Ben Hunt's playing arguably career best, if not career best, the closest he's been to career best since the Broncos under Hook.
I think Moses Suli's playing career best footy as well.
Yeah, that's the couple of losses or the incorrect calls that we believe Hook's made, We have to look at the positives too. Sully's playing out fucking outrageously good. Zach Lomax is killing it. Benny Hunt is killing it. Josh Maguire has come back and playing some really good footy. Andrew McCulloch has been solid. So there's been some wins there. It's just about the points on the board, obviously. Sorry, back to the Titans. I thought Sexton looked a different man. He was more confident. He was kicking in certain areas. I actually think putting Brimo in the halves with Sexton gives Sexton more confidence. I think Brimo gives him a lot of... Brimo backs him. He's a very infectious kind of character. He's very upbeat, positive. And I thought Sexton was really good on the weekend.
Yeah, I think Toby needed that one.
Yeah, for sure.
And
for sure.
Brimo at six takes a lot of pressure to create off Sexton. Mm. He can focus on getting the team around the park, which is so important for the Titans at the moment due to a lack of experience. So he does that. And, we saw at the start of the season with Jaden Campbell at fullback, Brimo in the halves with Sexton, they were getting results. So Campbell back in now, Brimo back in the halves. I think we've touched on, I'd personally prefer Brimo at, I think he's a better fullback, but in this Titans outfit, in the halves, they're playing better footy. Interesting to see now that Campbell's come in and gone whack, this is what you've been missing out on top of the foreign news, how Sexton responds over the next month, because all of a sudden, like how quickly things change to, we've invested in you, now to going, shit, like, if Jaden continues this form, there's not a spot for me, really.
Literally. Year, well, that's, so. And I said last week, it's not Campbell or Brimo's position that's under pressure. Mm. It's Sexton's, in my opinion. And I think the weekend bared that out. I think Foran is actually going to be putting pressure on Sexton to keep that half role. But I do think that if Sexton has to go back and play reserve grade for another year, although he will be, absolutely wants to play first grade, it may not be the worst thing for his development. He's still 22 or so years old. Let's say by the time he comes back into first grade, he's 23 and a half years old and he's got a whole year and a half under foreign. That Campbell's another couple of years older. Brimo's another couple of years older. I think it's fine.
Also, Foles and Brimo also don't shy away from injuries too often, to be fair. So, he'll get his chances.
Absolutely. And also, look, if he plays great, he keeps his spot. Campbell, it's going to be hard to get Campbell out of that fucking position. Like, Jesus Christ. He was so fucking outrageously good. Like, I cannot express to you how hard that try is to score that they scored from Campbell's footwork. Yeah. To put an in and away on at full speed against Ben Hunt, one of the best seven defenders in the comp, to make Ben literally grasp it air. So much so that if Campbell kept running, he might have even scored himself. It was just incredible.
It's
incredible.
In the wet after 88 minutes.
After 88 minutes, whack, whack. Usually it's one way. You don't do both. It's one way or the other with a step like that. And only blokes as light as him can do something like that. So, mate, he is special, special kid.
Speaking of blokes not as light as him, that try from Jared Wallace.
The big fella.
That was huge. That's probably the play of his career.
Mate, I was always a bit surprised that Wallace got dropped because I just thought he brought such consistency to the front row. And I know that, I know sometimes with Wallace, you can look at him and be like, does he have the explosiveness and all that extra stuff? But I think if the Titans were missing anything, it was a big front rower.
You need a mix.
That just got through his work. Him and Moe coming out and playing the first whatever minutes, I think that's a great front row rotation.
In the last couple of years, we've seen fullbacks change, the defensive structure, particularly on the line, has changed so much with them defending in the line at that A marker spot.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
We're seeing so many tries, like barge overs, like Jared Wallace. We're seeing a lot of hookers go through. And I reckon 9 times out of 10 that they happen, it's because there's a little fullback in the line. So that was straight through. granted, he wasn't the only one at fault, but through Tyrell Sloan. Mm. There was a couple of others over the weekend, just barge overs.
It's not much. There's not much you can do. You've got a front rower and a runner, like that, or even a back rower, close to the line.
But it's just like the amount of times that these little fullbacks at the A marker get run through.
Oh.
If you're a solid sort of, all the dummy halves are solid in the game, if they look up and see them there and there's a half quick play the ball, you're going every time because, geez, they've got to do a lot to stop you. Whereas...
Yep.
When the fullbacks used to sort of slide out the back of the defensive line, even on their own line, there were bigger bodies there that just didn't happen as often.
Yeah.
So,
mate, yeah, it's a great try from Wallace and just a great victory from the Titans. They desperately needed this. It was grindy, it was gritty. They completed at 81%, compared to a 78% from the Dragons. Just a great victory for the club. And it's going to give Sexton so much confidence. You know, he kicked for 544 metres. I think that's probably the most he's kicked all year, I think. If not, it's definitely up there. Made 23 tackles, only missed three, which is pretty solid for a half. Brimo, 24 tackles, only missed one. Isaac Liu, 33 tackles, zero miss. I thought Tino Fa'asua Ma'alawi was nearly in my team of the week. Talk about an inspirational captain. We have to remember this guy is 21 or 22 years old. And yet he plays like a grizzled veteran.
Just on Sexton, yeah, significantly more than he's kicked this year. The next is 408.
Yeah, so that's what you want from him. You want him kicking his dick off so Brimo doesn't have to do it. Get those meters, turn the big boys around.
And his most forced dropouts for the year with four as well.
Nice. It just shows you, if your kicking game is off, you basically can't win a game of footy. Whereas if your kicking game is switched on, it can change everything. Cleary is a perfect example of that.
Brisbane.
Yeah, fuck me. Yeah. They're like a different side.
They are. It's because they've got a premier kick. And the difference between a really good kicking game and a premier kicking game, it shouldn't be much, but it is.
It's a world.
It honestly is a world away.
And then there's another little step up to a Cleary kicking game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's very good premier, and that's like... Yes, Moses, your Reynolds, and then there's another little step and it's clear.
And the difference between good and premier isn't kicking into the third row of the grandstand. It's a metre and a half.
Yeah, literally.
And it's a shit kick.
Yep, absolutely. Great win. Corey Thompson, I like Corey Thompson as a player. Mate, he's probably going to be a very unlucky player that would have played Origin last year. If he didn't get injured, because he was playing great last year, whereas now with Oates back in the frame, Selwyn there, you've got Coates as well, you've got Tulangi, it's going to be very tough for him to get that Origin jersey. But he's just constantly working in a constant threat. Like every time he carries a ball, he must be a nightmare for defence.
Why do they keep dropping him?
Oh, mate, you know what it is.
Not tell me he's not in the best back five.
You know what it is? It's because he's a small winger.
Oh,
they can't get past their head. Like, if he was 6'3" and putting the exact same stats up, guarantee he never gets dropped. But because he's a small winger, they can't get out of their head that he's a small winger. And yet, you look at his stats, it's a million tackle breaks, it's 160-plus metres, it's very little errors. It's just, it's because he's a small winger.
I couldn't believe the Tigers let him go, before he got to the Tigers.
Didn't he win, players player or some shit?
We've been complimenting Luke Garner for the last 3 weeks because he's doing well at centre.
Mm.
Why wouldn't you just keep Corey Thompson around the place?
He came back from England to the Dogs, I believe, or something the other way around, and he was fantastic at the Bulldogs for a few years there. They let go of him there as well. Everywhere he goes, it's like, what are we missing here? Because I think... I'm with you. I think it's because there's that small little white dude. Nah.
Yeah.
Mate, last year he was busting tackles like 10, 15 a game.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's because he's a small winger and people just have it in their head. Like they want big wingers. They just want big wingers. That's just really the only reason. Because when you look at his body of work and he starts, you go, why would a player like that who's not going to break the bank, he's not going to be super expensive, like those other big wingers. Like if you get a 6'3" winger that's doing this kind of stuff, he breaks the bank. He's too expensive.
But it's funny at the same time, whenever you compliment Corey Thompson, no one pulls you up on it.
No, yeah.
It's like everyone's aware of it, but no one wants to be aware.
Yeah, it's bizarre, mate. It is bizarre. And he's been consistent literally for 4 or 5 years. Like very rarely will he have a shocker.
Across numerous inconsistent clubs.
Yeah. Yeah, mate. Huge, huge fan. Who else played really well? Congratulations to Saka getting that match winner. That was a great finish. A really, really good finish. Brimo, a try assist. So look, mate, be excited, Titans fan. If there is a victory that can turn things around, like some may say, oh, it's only Dragons aren't an easy beat. Like, they really aren't an easy beat. So congratulations to the Titans.
And I said before that this was perfect for the Dragons. This was probably worst case scenario for the Titans. You're playing a grindy team. It's wet. Your kicking game is going to be super important. You don't have a half that can go overseas and buy himself a beer at the moment. Like, to be able to win this game, I thought it was incredibly. And the bright lights of Magic Round, really good win.
Yeah, and from the first whistle, you could see a difference in the body language of the Titans. Like, you could see that it meant a lot to them, and that's what you want a reaction. And where are they? So they currently sit. So the tough thing is that they're still fucking 13th. Mm. But if they win, and then, you know, either the Raiders, Warriors, Dragons lose, they drop. They push up into that 9th to 12th
this
spot.
This year is, for me anyway, it's always been about development.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Agreed.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.